tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April the 2nd, 1994. Spring Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene Moody of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Well, we have, an unexpected treat this afternoon. And I trust that Gene and Earlene will be able to be back with us many, many times again in the future. And since a long time since Gene's taught, I'm just thrilled to have him here with us this afternoon to teach. And for all of you who've never met Gene Moody, to meet him. And he's responsible for the deliverance manual that we have. He's the one who started putting it together and finally said we need to get this printed. And so that's how it all came to being when the Lord impressed him to start doing it. And it is helping people who are in the deliverance ministry all over the world. And thank the Lord for Gene and the ministry the Lord's given him, both secular and spiritual, but mostly the spiritual. But we thank the Lord for the secular so he can have finances for the spiritual. See? Amen. We need both. In the deliverance services, and especially when we're praying with somebody for deliverance, there's always somebody that the Lord will give preeminence and the authority when you're praying with somebody. And the rest of those there should yield to that authority so there's not confusion. No matter who it is, it could be any one of us, any one of you, and there could be a dozen helpers helping. But the rest of them should you can pray. It's wonderful to pray. They need your prayers, or whoever needs your prayers, but you need to realize who the Lord has given the authority to and then yield to that authority so that there will not be confusion. And that's something that we need to learn. So when we get involved in a fight, you know, you get into it, and that's wonderful, and we want to see victory. So we need to have discipline as well in these things. Gene, the Lord bless you as you come and minister.
You know, this has been a deliverance camp, hasn't it? Isn't it amazing? You know, sometimes we come up here and it's like the Lord, it's like he emphasizes deliverance almost through the camp. And Tommy has also moved in the area of deliverance. And it's a real blessing to me to see Tommy move in the area of deliverance. He told me he'd been doing this since 1960 and they've moved away from it, moved back in it, and he never has gotten away from deliverance. And it's really a blessing. When Tommy really comes on strong for deliverance, the demons really move. And so it's been a real blessing to me. And through the 3 years that Earlene and I haven't been here, Irma sends me the tapes. And so I get to hear everything that's said from the pulpit that's recorded. And so I followed the camp, and I followed Tommy and Glenn and Doc and all the others. And it's just a real blessing to me to see the things that have happened through the years. I can tell all of you, you have grown. It's just beautiful to sit back. It's like I'm an observer looking in on the camp. And I can tell you that you have grown spiritually. And I just want to commend you and just praise God for that. Now, this is a lesson that normally takes me 2 hours to teach. But it's 20 till 4. And what I'd really plan to do is I'd really plan to get all of you involved. But I don't see how I can do that and have any deliverance. So I'm probably just going to have to teach you the lesson and then see how the time goes. Let's take a poll in here. How many in here would consider themselves a part of the fivefold ministry? Raise your hand. All right. How many in here who are in the fivefold ministry consider deliverance as part of their ministry? Raise your hand. Praise God. Okay. How many in here would consider themselves a deliverance minister? Okay, that's pretty good. Praise God. In other words, that's someone who, moves, let's say, predominantly in the area of deliverance, like Earlene and I. All right. How many of you in here are Christians? Okay. How many of you here who are Christians who would consider themselves laymen cast out demons? Raise your hand. That's good. Okay. This lesson is for you. See, the Lord impressed Earlene and I that what we were supposed to do was train people for deliverance. In other words, how to do it. And most of you are familiar with the deliverance manual, which Glenn and Irma published. And then we have a loose leaf copy that we print at Kinko's that we send around the world. And I just praise God for the wonderful things, that the good reports that I have heard from around the world for the deliverance manual. Now, normally I get up here and I take a lesson and I develop the lesson and I have a list of demons that goes along with that and I cast those out. But today I'm going to take a different approach, and I really would like to have had... See, it's like Earlene and I, we've been doing this now for about 20 years, but we don't know it all. We haven't had all these experiences. I come to camp and I talk with people and they tell me about things I hadn't even heard of in deliverance, and tell them about spirits that I haven't ever dealt with. And what I really wanted to do is I really wanted to get all of you people involved and hear your comments. But to do that, it would take a good 2 hours. And so, unfortunately, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read this lesson. If I have some time after the lesson, depending on how the clock is going, then I may set a microphone up here and get y'all to come and participate. But I want you to know that there's no end to learning in deliverance. It's a constant learning process. We'll be learning about deliverance and new things in deliverance until we die. God will continue to give you revelations as you get involved in deliverance. Then God will give you revelations that nobody else has ever had. And He'll give it to you for the moment, for the need of the moment. Amen. In your life or in those that you're ministering to. So Satan has had 2,000 years or so to figure out how to defeat us. And we're not going to figure out all of his tricks in a few years. And so this is why I'd really welcomed, you know, having the comments from all of you people who have a different viewpoint, who've had different experience. But I don't have the time. So I'm going to take it like a... and watch that clock back in. Now, I want to teach you how not to do deliverance. Now, these are things that God has impressed me with. And it's not all my thoughts. It's not all my thoughts or early thoughts. These are things that we have picked up. See, when you come here in this group and you're associated with other people, you assimilate knowledge. Okay, as Tommy teaches, then I may pick up something from Tommy. As Glenn teaches, I'll pick up something from Glenn. As Doc teaches, and as Bill sings and so forth, you see, we pick up things. So what we are a product of everything that we have come into contact with up to this day. Now, Amen. So I wish I could... our deliverance manual, loose leaf, is 615 pages. And it's probably the most complete manual in the world, but it's far from complete. I mean, we could sit down and write another 615 pages and add to that. So you cannot come up with a 100% complete deliverance manual. For one reason, we don't know it all. We don't know everything to write into it. And 10 years from now, if we're still around, then there'll be new things we could put into it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read this to you. And when I read it to you, that's boring. But I don't know any other way to do it in the time that I've got allotted. So be thinking about this as I go through it and think about what comments you might have even where you disagree with me. I'm a big boy and I can handle disagreement. So if you don't agree with everything I've got in here, fine. You may very well be right and I might very well be wrong. But this is where I was when I wrote this particular lesson. And we taught it not too long ago over in Beaumont. How not to do deliverance. Some advice. For the person who wants God to use him or her for deliverance work among those possessed by evil spirits, here is some advice. 1. The person ministering in the area of deliverance is in a position of all-out warfare with the forces of evil. Many have fallen by the wayside because of ignorance of Bible and deliverance, still having many demons within themselves, women and men ministering by themselves, being lured by false doctrines and so forth. 2. Demons can be very stubborn and highly seductive. Demons do not easily come out when they have a right before God to stay due to unconfessed sin, curses, soul ties, and so forth. They can lure the man or woman who is alone into a sex trap, destroying the ministry, their family, and others who are following that leader. 3. Effective weapons used against ministers are carelessness, pride, immorality, taking God for granted, spiritual weakness, and affliction of wife and husband where the minister refuses to yield to God. 4. Deliverance ministers should train their families and involve them in deliverance work. Husband and wife should minister together as a team if possible. 5. Unforgiveness is the biggest hindrance to answered prayer and the casting out demons. Unforgiveness between husband and wife is especially a hindrance. Overall view of deliverance. Deliverance consists of about 3 equal parts: teaching, casting out, and counseling. Christians generally either do not get involved or only get involved slightly. Because of this, there are weaknesses in the ministry of deliverance. Deliverance will not be completely successful unless there is a balance in the church of teaching, ministry, and counseling. The biggest weakness is trying to cover deliverance by just casting out demons without proper teaching or counseling. Here, many Christians only go after the surface demons and do not go after the root causes of why the person got into those problems in the first place. The second biggest weakness is not walking out the deliverance. After the demons are cast out, a person must change their ways of thinking and acting and discipline their life, or they will let the demons come back into them. A person needs extensive counseling to help them do this, and they must decide to change their lives. The third biggest weakness is the lack of teaching on deliverance. There is a large body of knowledge about the deliverance, but you hear a little practical teaching come to pulpit. Okay, Brother Glenn, would you set that microphone up there? I think I can take a few minutes. Okay, that's about the first page of my lesson here. And I'd just like to invite somebody to quickly come up and make any comments. I want to give you a few minutes to make some comments. So whoever would like to make some comments, come on up.
About what you read.
About what I read, right. You want to keep it to the lesson here. Okay. Okay, come on up, brother. Or Doc. And let's turn this around where you can look at the audience. What's your time?
Gene is very fortunate that he has a wife that's involved in the ministry. I'm a single man. And you have to be very, very careful when you're ministering to women if you're a single man. And the devil will lay very shrewd traps for you. He sent single women by knocking on my door that want to talk to me, and I see who they are, and I don't answer. Maybe that's not polite, but I just will not go to the door if I see a woman at my door. I just won't answer the door. I just stay in the house and hide. But the devil, you have to be very careful, because the devil wants to destroy you, discredit your ministry, and the quickest way to discredit your ministry is to get you involved in sexual sin, or the appearance of sexual sin.
Thank you, Doc. Okay, I'm just going to limit it to one person talking while we go through here. Deliverance myths. There is much ignorance about many myths and many myths about deliverance. Deliverance is the most misunderstood part of the Christian life. Many deliverance workers and ministers do not realize how demonized they and the Christian body are. Sometimes they fall by the wayside because they do not continue to purge their bodies of demons. Unless the church gets involved on a regular basis with deliverance, many Christians will continue to be defeated by Satan. When the young Christian starts to cast out demons, he will make statements like, "You are completely free of demons." Jesus never told anyone in the Bible that they were completely free of demons. Battle myths. There are many myths about Christian warfare. Satan is a good devil, a worthy adversary in what he does. He works 24 hours a day to destroy us. He will probably take about 98% of the world population and 75% of the church population to hell with him. Matthew 7:14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. All we need to have in the church is token deliverance. I can keep my cursed objects without causing any harm. We can get all of our demons cast out in one grand event. And those last 3 sentences I read, I'm sure you realize those are false. The woman question. Consider the basic way a woman thinks. What happens to a woman in her mind when she has no male leadership? Should a man minister to a woman alone in deliverance? Should a woman minister to a man alone in deliverance? What is the possible happening? We minister as a husband and wife team. What are the advantages of this method? What about protection from sex traps laid by Satan? Assume a woman minister travels with another woman. What are the pitfalls? Assume a woman who ministers by herself is either married or unmarried. What are the pitfalls? Assume a woman who ministers is married and her husband is unsaved or saved and will not travel with her. What are the pitfalls? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Let me have another person come up and make some comments.
I'll take the first part, but okay. You probably want somebody else besides me as well. But the first part where he mentioned there about having demons, I was of the teaching that no Christian could have a demon. That was the teaching of my heritage, that when I got saved, all the demons were gone. And that was the erroneous teaching that I was taught, but I believed that, see? And so until the Lord gave a demonstration of a Christian man that I knew had both was both saved and had the Holy Ghost, I did not believe that any Christian could have a demon. So the first thing is, the ministers and teachers and so forth in the regular churches who have been taught this, the same as I was, until they have a demonstration in their congregation or in their office or somewhere of a demon spirit from a saved person that they know is saved, they are also under that delusion that no Christian can have a demon.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Okay, let me take a moment for a woman. There's a woman coming up here. Okay, say something about women that I've been talking about.
Okay, first I have a question. How effective can be a woman in the ministry of deliverance when she's married to a man that is unsaved?
It's very difficult because they're not in agreement. She has to go by herself. She doesn't have the protection of her husband, mm-hmm. which is ideal.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is the weakest vessel. So it will be very difficult for you. I wouldn't tell you not to do it, but I'll tell you you'll face many hazards.
How about transferring of spirits? If she's married to an unsaved person, and then she's working in that ministry and she's laying hands on people, can you talk a little bit about that?
Okay, that's a real good question. Okay, transference of spirits. Spirits can be transferred from one person to another. But I don't think they can be transferred unless you have a weakness within you. If there's some, is that right, Brother Glenn? There's some weakness within you that would allow this type of spirit at the same time that you have a weakness to come within you.
Okay.
Okay, you want to comment about women and the ministry a minute?
I think that the women can really be help to the husbands getting into that ministry because, like the brother said, working as a couple. I was single when I first came into the ministry, but now that I have my husband and I see how much more effective women can be working and a king, but I also have questions about those that are like doctor, there's a working by himself. I imagined that the attack is so much stronger when you are by yourself. That was my experience in this ministry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Loudness of voice. Many people feel that if you shout or scream at demons that they will come out sooner. The contrary is true. If the demons feel that you don't know your authority or how to cast out demons, they will feel that you're in a weak position and will resist leaving. The formula for casting out demons is Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. An analysis of this verse reveals that you must believe the Bible and what it says about casting out demons. You cast them out in the name of Jesus, and signs will follow your ministry. I always feel like when I use that verse, I should charge you. Okay, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ that you cast out demons. All right. Is anybody here who's not a Christian? Raise your hand if you're not a Christian. Okay, I don't see any non-Christians. Signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Every Christian ought to cast out demons. Even we've taught little children to cast them out. The demons hate that.
Yeah.
But a little child who's a Christian can cast out demons in the name of Jesus. It's no big deal to cast out a Christian and cast out demons. Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Everybody's awake now. Do what? Right. That's right. Yeah, David and Goliath. The little Christian slays the giants. How do you do it? You do it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
It's not in my name or your name. Laying hands on others. This is an area that is dangerous and caution must be exercised because of the potential harm to individuals in God's kingdom. A good verse to ponder is 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. It is not necessary to lay hands on someone to cast out demons. In some cases, it is better not to lay hands on the person being ministered to. This is especially true when casting out sexual demons from the opposite sex. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit in what to do. If you have sexual demons within you, they will interact with the sexual demons in the other person. They will stir up emotions in either or both individuals. This is especially true between the opposite sex, or between homosexuals, or between lesbians. We have observed men laying hands on women, and women laying hands on men. The safest way is to lay hands on the top of the head. Next in safeness is to lay hands on the shoulder. Many times God heals by the lengthening of legs and the straightening of the back. In this instance, it is safe to hold a person's shoes and pray for them. In between the head and shoulders and the feet is the danger zone of eroticism. This is the area that stirs up sexual feelings.
Say that word again, Gene.
This is the area that stirs up sexual feelings.
But yes, what is that word that you use?
Eroticism. Oh, eroticism.
Okay.
Does everybody know what eroticism is? Or erotic things? It's the sensual, sexual. Right. That's what they try to portray on television, you know, try to get you stirred up sexually so you'll buy things and whatever. Suppose that a person has latent homosexual or lesbian demons that they are not aware of. Then they will want to love on men and boys or women and girls. They may want to lay hands on their sexual organs and to kiss them to get rid of the homosexual or lesbian demons. This actually invites these type of demons to attack the person being ministered to and satisfies the demons within the person doing the ministry. Now, strange as that seems, that does occur. But see, the minister who's doing this has a homosexual tendency or lesbian tendency. See, why would you, as a man, want to lay on another man, fondle his sexual organs, or French kiss him? You have to be either homosexual or have homosexual tendencies. Okay, time for another comment. Come on up. Okay, sister. Sure.
When he was talking about the women, I just wanted to share something because I had experience with deliverance in a church a few years back, and at the time I felt the Lord was leading me into deliverance ministry, but I'm glad that he told me to stand back because he taught me something while I was there. I saw a real lording of the women over the men in that church, and I didn't know very much about Ahab and Jezebel, but that's when God started to teach me. Their authority was being cut down, and it was done in a way that they were justifying. I don't think that they could even see it, but it was wrong, and the Lord started to teach me, too, that I didn't know at the time that there were things God was going to get at in my own life about authority, and even just in a marriage relationship, if you're ministering with a husband, you know, there's at times I think that even if you feel God is calling you to do something and the husband wants to pray, that you should step back and allow him to move first and submit to him as unto the Lord. But also, too, I just wanted to say that I've been really blessed this weekend because I've been through deliverance ministry that I think did more harm to me at times than good because people needed to be set free. And there was transference. I know there was. There was a lot of confusion because what was happening, the area that I was from was surrounded by witches' covens. It was a highly occult area. There were witches infiltrating the church, and what started to happen down the road was so much strife and anger came into the situation because people were competing with authorities, and that is such a sign of witchcraft that, you know, the Lord just spoke to my heart about that and said, look, lay it down. I mean, if you've got to compete, that's not godly. And that'll get into your spirit, and that'll carry on into your life in other areas. It causes such fighting and arguing and opening yourself up to just harassment by the enemy. So there needs to be a real unity. And I've seen that here this weekend. I've just really been blessed because there's also sound doctrine here.
Okay, traveling ministries. Suppose that a man or woman travels alone in a ministry. This person could be single or married. If married, the mate is not traveling with that person. Sexual pressures and loneliness may build up in the traveling evangelist. There may be an unconscious desire to love on the person being ministered to satisfy the unfulfilled desire within the ministry. This is extremely dangerous and has caused many divorces and loss of ministry. Outside of the desire to live, sex is the greatest drive in mankind. The big three used to destroy a person's relationship with God are money, sex, and power. Sex is a playground for Satan, and he's used it to destroy multitudes of Christians, ministers, and churches. The Bible clearly states that the woman is weaker than the man. A woman traveling alone is more vulnerable than a man traveling alone. The woman is also subject to being raped or molested. However, it is now getting to the point where men are being raped too. Suppose that a woman is a lesbian or has lesbian tendencies, is manly or has manly qualities, or has problems with rejection and not being loved. Traveling with another woman may lead to a lesbian relationship. If a woman looks like, acts like, or dresses like a man, then she is a candidate for this problem. Private ministry. A man should not minister to a woman alone, and a woman should not minister to a man alone. What frequently happens is that the couple ends up in bed having sex. Suppose that the minister is a man of God. Many women will come to him with their problems of a serious nature. He may feel sorry for them and try to comfort their feelings. If he does not go about this ministry in a proper way, then he is on the abscess of destruction which can lead to hell. Suppose that the minister is a woman of God. She may feel that she is strong and not subject to temptations of mortal woman. Due to her lack of a man, she may go overboard in ministering to the man and make a fool out of herself. She may feel that she can minister to the man in her motel room, which is the ideal setup for Satan's mission. Husband and wife can protect each other from the opposite sex. You should ask yourself this question: how am I opening myself up to sexual attack? Okay, I'm going to go on, and it's a big time for another comment later. I only have so much time for comments. Deliverance is not a parlor game. Deliverance is not a plaything to make the meeting interesting. It is deadly serious and can make the difference between life and death, or a victorious life here and in the here and after. We should not practice token deliverance in our meetings or churches. Deliverance is not a grand event. Deliverance is a way of life, probably until we die and God takes over our training. Christians are very demonized and require years for cleansing and retraining so that the demons are not let back in. You can't keep your cursed objects and stay free. If you persist in keeping your cursed objects, then you are cursed and the demons have a right to attack you, your family, and what you have. Don't expect the demons to let you alone when you give them a right before God to torment you. Fallen deliverance ministers. It is amazing to see the casualties among deliverance ministers. These should be the strongest of Christians and the most knowledgeable of the Word. They are trapped by not confessing sin, not crucifying the flesh, and not casting out demons in their lives. They are trying to help others when they need help themselves. They are immature and do not know the Word of God or much about deliverance. They have received a measure of deliverance, but need much more. It is also amazing to see the fallen men and women get into false doctrine. A big problem is their pride, ego, and vanity. They want to be number one or to have the preeminence. They want others to tell them how great they are. A common problem is being overweight and indulging themselves on food rather than the food of the Word. Most cannot take constructive criticism and are very sensitive about their weight. We all pay for our mistakes in the here and now and in the here and after. These people are not open-minded and will not change. Therefore, their organizations suffer from their bad decisions of judgment in the mental, spiritual, and material realms. Okay, time for a comment. Come on up, brother.
Yes, I want to start with a question. It is correct to, for example, in a situation that a person has a demon, to many people call the demon out?
You mean to have everybody get involved with calling the spirit out?
Well, sometimes in the churches, some people has the manifestation of demons, maybe the pastor or maybe the deacons or elders are trying to liberate a person. Okay, and then members of the church or somebody came and together and start to cry, calling the demon, come out, and maybe they do not have the acknowledge or the power to call the demon out.
Okay, this is really what Glenn was saying. See, it's like, okay, in the men's meeting, okay, Doc was in charge, he had the spiritual authority for the meeting. And so I assisted him, and I did what he asked me to do. I followed his leadership. Now, there were times when I worked with people individually when the rest of the group was working with this young man who was manifesting pretty strongly. Okay, and so I worked with the person individually. Other times we worked, Doc and I would work with this man, and we asked the whole group to participate. Okay, but Doc and I, we were in control, we were in leadership, we were calling out the demons. And what we needed was the rest of the group to support us. In other words, we needed the unity of the Spirit. We needed the rest of you to support us, to agree with us, to help us call out those demons, because we had some difficult situations. Now, so it's always good for one person to be in charge. Like right now, I'm in charge. Brother Glenn has given me the authority to be in charge. Okay, so I'm in charge for the moment, and I'll turn it back over to him later on. So one person needs to be in charge. Okay, the order to this is where everybody rushes in and everybody wildly starts calling out demons and hollering. It's just mass confusion. So you need to have order. Difficulty in driving demons out. Oh, sure.
In the situation we're describing, if you feel that God has given you a word of knowledge as to what is holding this demon in, if there are a group of people who are ministering and there's someone in charge and there a group is there and you feel that God has given you a word, then you need to tell it. You need to either write it down and give it to the man in charge or lean over and whisper in his ear. Now, when Gene was ministering today to, yesterday, when Brother Coffey was ministering to someone, God gave me a word of knowledge about it. And so I leaned over and I just whispered in his ear. And he went on with his ministry, but then he called that thing out. He waited 5 minutes, but he fitted into his ministry. And if you feel that you have a word of knowledge, then you should either write it down and hand it to the person in charge, or you can lean over and whisper in his ear. But don't stand there and yell at the demon, because that just distracts and adds to confusion.
Thank you, Don. Difficulty in driving demons out. Some demons come out easily, and some demons take hours to drive out. A worthless command is all the demons come out of this person, or everyone in the congregation, or everyone in the world, now in the name of Jesus. Another worthless statement is, all of your demons are gone. How do you know that all of your demons are gone? Can you see them in the body and the soul of the person? If Jesus didn't say this, how can you? Agreement between husband and wife. When husband and wife agree, there is great power before God. When husband and wife disagree, there is weakness before God. In the deliverance ministry, they need to support each other. They cannot be careless, take God for granted, or not do the things that a Christian must do. They need to train the children also about the battle. Satan will attack the children of a couple that minister in deliverance. Okay, let me have a comment. Come on up, sister. Okay, we talked about that today. Let's say that I have a spirit of alcoholism. And that spirit of alcoholism resides up here on top of my head. So that's the surface of my body. So now everybody recognizes I'm an alcoholic. And they say, hey, he's got an alcoholic demon. So let's get rid of that spirit of alcoholism. So they go after it. And lo and behold, they get it. Okay? But what happens is, why did I have the spirit of alcoholism? Suppose my father abused me as a child, didn't show me love, and through this, I tried to compensate for that through becoming an alcoholic. So I wouldn't have to think about this. Now, what will happen in that person, you haven't dealt with the roots of the cause. You haven't dealt with the cause. Why did this person begin to get demonized? Okay? And so you deal with the surface. You deal with the surface demon, the demon that's obvious, and you cast it out. Okay, but the chances are good, and I've seen this happen, that spirit of alcoholism will come back again, and the person will let it back again, because you didn't deal with the root causes. Okay, what makes it so difficult is what makes it so difficult and time consuming here is we try to deal with the root causes, and that is very difficult. I mean, it's when you dig the roots out, this is very difficult. It's time consuming. Requires a tremendous amount of discernment. The power of God working. And we tried to do a quick work today on a brother who was in very bad condition. Okay, and so you really have to go at this thing. It's very, very difficult. Okay, but that's what you want to do. You want to get down, you want to dig the roots out, like a tree. What will happen to a tree if you cut the tree off at the stump? Well, the tree will grow back again. Well, demons are the same way. Now, you cut that tree off, you get rid of that family of alcoholic demons, and it just comes back again. So that's what's called surface deliverance. Okay, you want to say something, Bill? Yes. Okay, she's just asked a real explosive question, and I'm going to hit it. I'm going to hit it right on the head. How many of you in here believe in inner healing? Believe in visualization? You know, it's like so your wife got raped, and so you tell her, now you just believe that Jesus was there while you got raped, and to help make this okay. Okay, I'm going to tell you about my own personal opinion about inner healing. I'm probably going to make some of you mad, but that's okay. Inner healing is totally unnecessary. It can be demonic. It can do harm. Now, inner healing is a cop-out for deliverance. Those who move in inner healing try to do that rather than moving in deliverance. If you move in deliverance, you don't have to practice inner healing. Okay, praise God. Now let's go on. Yes, ma'am. I mean, y'all have some real good questions. Let's see if we can hit it on the head. Most Christians today refer the people to outside the church, to psychiatrists, psychologists, and social workers, rather than having the church deal with it. Secondly, those who deal with counsel in the church, many times that's all they do. They just counsel people. All right? And as you know, there's things out here that they don't get rid of. Now, the counseling I'm talking, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do counseling. What I'm talking about is deliverance is not going. Suppose that all I did is I went around the world and I cast out demons. Well, that's basically a formula for failure. Or suppose that all I did is I went around the world and I just taught about deliverance. I just taught you about this. That's a formula for failure. Or suppose that all I did is I just canceled you. And you come to me and we just talk about your problems and we talk and we talk and we talk. Okay, all those are formulas for failure. Right, how do you want to get a formula for success? Okay, first thing you do is you get up and you teach the people about what the Word of God says about this subject. Now today I'm not using much scripture because I don't have time. Okay, but like in the Deliverance Manual, there's hundreds, probably thousands of scriptures. Now, so the first thing you do is you teach the people, what does God say about this? You develop the basis, and you teach them about a subject. What is wrong with this subject? What is wrong with, like today, doctrinal sex? What is wrong with improper sex? You teach the people. So basically, you have to teach the people. There's a tremendous amount of teaching that's involved in deliverance. And the subjects seem to be almost endless. Now, so you teach the people. Now you have used the Word of God, you've taught the people, so what are you going to do? You're going to stop there? No, you take them through a prayer. The next thing you do is you repent. You're not going to get many of your demons out unless you repent. So you repent. Then you break curses, you break soul ties, you break demonic ties. Well, are you going to quit there? I mean, wow, you know, we have repented. The traditional church quits when we repent. We have repented, we've done it. No, that's just the beginning. Okay, so now you establish the basis for deliverance. You get right with God, you get these things out of the blood, and then you have a right to cast out demons. Before that, you really don't have any right to cast out demons. So now you have a right to cast out demons. Well, you're going to quit that? No, you're going to cast the demons out. Okay, so now here's this person who's very demonized, and you work with this person, you cast their demons out, and you do it over a number of periods of time. Well, you're just going to throw this person after the wolves? No, that person needs to be able to come to someone and sit down and talk. So, because after you get your demons cast out, you have to discipline your life. Okay, this takes counseling. It takes a general counseling, like I'm giving you a general counseling from the pulpit. It takes individual counseling. Like here at camp, you need to be able to go around and talk to people. Talk to people who are in the fivefold ministry. Talk to people who are in deliverance and ask them, you know, how do I walk this thing out? So it's a process. It's a process of teaching, ministry, discipline, and counseling. Okay, if you leave any one of those elements out, then you're subject to failure. It's like a brand new Christian. This person gets saved. And so you throw him to the wolves. No, he needs to be nurtured. Okay, the person that gets their demons out needs to be nurtured. Okay, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. See how my time's running here. Let me read some more, and then I'll catch you. Okay, threefold ministry, threefold deliverance. The three arms of deliverance, that's what I've been talking about. The three arms of deliverance are teaching, ministering, and counseling. If they ever get around it, the church usually wants to cast out the demons and to get this messy subject over with so that they can go on to more glorious services. Suppose a man is a drunk. Then they will try to cast that drunkenness and not find out why the man became a drunk. Those who don't believe in deliverance say that all a Christian has to do is crucify the flesh. In a sense, they are right. You must crucify the flesh to be successful in deliverance. You can't get your pet demon cast out and go back and do the same thing again. Example, smoking. The demon is cast out and a person goes out and buys a pack of cigarettes again. Gluttony. The demon is cast out and a person goes and eats three pieces of pie. Teaching and counseling must be continuing. You don't just bring in the deliverance minister once a year and that takes care of everything. Or you minister to a person and you don't need to talk to that person again. This is the same problem that a new Christian faces after salvation. The need for continual feeding and growth. Okay, so what should you do? Let's just take Lake Hammond the Bible camp. Should you come up here one time, get all your demons cast out, and live happily ever after? No, that's a total impossibility. That's unreality. That's fantasy.
Beautiful thought. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thought. Or let's say you hear that Gene and Earlene cast out demons in Baton, and you say, wow, if I could just get down to see Gene and Earlene, if they just spend a day with me. Well, a lot of people have those thoughts. They think if they can just go to the place or to the person or to the people, that, you know, they just take care of everything for them. No. I mean, I hate to disappoint you, but Christians have many demons. It's like the Lord moved early and I in deliverance, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. We started working with people. And we work with people and we work with them and work with them and work with them. When we got into it, we knew almost nothing about deliverance. And then the Lord moved us into ministering to the fivefold ministry. All right. Now, what we found out is Christians are very demonized. The fivefold ministry is very demonized. You think someone gets up before you and they're a pastor and they don't have any demons? Nonsense. The chances are good if they haven't had extensive deliverance, they got a lot of demons. Okay, so they're just a cut above you. You're the congregation, and the fivefold ministry is just a cut above you. When we first got in deliverance, we used to count demons. I mean, I'd count how many demons are there, and what's your name, and what's your rank. And I never forget one man we worked with for 9 months, and I counted about 10,000 demons that we cast out. And I began to see how demonized we are. That includes early tonight. We wouldn't tell you that we don't have any demons. Okay, so we're all very demonized. And demons, they're common. They're so common, they're just like weeds. They're very, and sure, like Glenn says, you know, look behind every bush, behind every rock. Okay, the demons, if God would open our eyes, you would see a multitude of demons within people, outside of us. You'd see angels. Okay, demons are very common. There's multiplied billions of them. There's enough demons in the world for everybody in the world to have demons. Not one, but many. Now, so you need to realize the battle that you're against. Okay, I tell people, what problems do you have? Do you have any problems? Do any of you have any problems? All right. There's something for you to deal with. Why should you have that problem? All right. Your house is like a mansion. You have a mansion that has many rooms in it. Okay. You've got to go and clean out every room. Every area of your life. Mentally, physically, spiritually, materially. Okay. And the chances are good there's demons in every room. So you have to go into a search and destroy mission to set yourself free. And then you can live. You can live what the Bible says. You can have a peaceful life. So, okay, I'm getting carried away here. Let me have this brother here. You want to come up and say something?
I just have kind of a three-part question.
Okay, let's address this. First of all, you don't cast demons out of the non-Christian. Yeah. Now, why is that? The Bible says they go out, they walk around in dry places, they don't like it there, they come back in, they bring seven demons worse than themselves, and the life state of the man is worse than the first. So you're doing a disservice. I mean, if you don't get that man or woman saved and you cast out their demons, you are doing them a disservice. They're going to be worse off than they were before. Okay, so all we do is minister to Christians. Most of the Christians that we minister to are full gospel Christians. That means not only are they saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, they've learned about divine healing, and now they come in delivered. How many of you here would classify yourselves as a full gospel Christian? Raise your hand. Raise it up high. Like you're not ashamed of it. Okay, that's good. Praise God. Most of you are full gospel Christians. Okay, deliverance is sort of the fourth stage that you come into in full gospel Christianity. Now, the people, this ideal to cast out demons in the presence. Okay, it's true that you can, there's a certain element of success when you deal in the spirit world with someone away from you. Okay, but the ideal is to have them right there, face to face, ministering to them. Okay, now what did I miss? Okay, praise God. The unwilling? Oh, okay, good. I'm thinking. Okay, it does no good to try to cast demons out of the unwilling. Okay, that they're unwilling, they don't believe in deliverance. Okay, it's a waste of time.
Except we can intercede for them.
Right, we can intercede for them. It's just like when people come to us. Okay, we make them, we set aside one Sunday a month to work with people. And we try to make them show sincerity that they want to come, that they want to be helped, that they want to be helped from God. Okay, and they will get help. See, if you come here and you want help, you will get help. But if you sit back then, you say, bless God, I don't have any demons. These people don't know what they're talking about. They're ignorant. I mean, I know more than this. This is just a bunch of dumb, stupid people here that believe a Christian can have a demon. Well, how many demons do you think that person is going to get rid of? Absolutely none. Okay, so it's a function of your sincerity before. Okay, how many demons will God cast out of you if you don't want them cast out? Or what will God do for you if you don't want it done? Okay, God will not force anything on you. Okay? And if God won't do it, then we can't do it either. So it's a waste of time to deal with someone who doesn't want help.
Now, but the other part of that question was, somebody wants help, but they're across the country somewhere away from you. Now what do you do?
Okay.
You and us both confronted that all the
time. Right. That's another good question. Y'all can think of some tough questions here. Now, so what are you going to do about this person who's across the country? Let's say that, I mean, the most common thing is a woman comes to you and she says, my husband is unsaved. What am I going to do about him? Well, you can't go to him and cast his demons out. But you can intercede for this person, you can pray for them, and you can bind up the spirit. I tell the women to bind up those demons every day. You're a woman, you know what demons is in your husband. So every day you bind those demons up. His spirits of alcoholism and unbelief and mental abuse of the wife or what. You have the power to bind these demons up. So you bind these demons up in your husband, and you lose spirit, and you can also lose spirits. You can lose godly spirits. You can lose spirits of courage, understanding, wisdom, and peace. And you can lose spirits of God upon these people. So what do you want to do? You want to bind up the evil spirits in this person. And you want to lose the godly spirits so they'll come to their senses, get saved. Now you can begin the Christian process. You can begin the process of casting out their demons. But first, the important thing is you want to get them saved. So there's a certain, like a woman. A woman has, a wife has, or a husband. They have a certain authority that I don't have because I'm not their wife or their husband. Okay, so they can exercise that over their mate. And with the idea of getting the mate saved or getting a person out of alcoholism or sexual sin or whatever. So there's an element of power that we can exercise in. And so, yes, we can pray for those who are out there who are unsaved or who are backslidden or who may be a Christian, but who's a Christian alcoholic or something. We can do that. We'll achieve a certain element of success.
You still haven't answered the question he asked.
Okay.
I'm a Christian. I live in California. You live in New York. I got problems, and I call you on the phone, and I want some help. Can you help me from New York to California?
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Okay. Glenn and Irma do this a lot, and Early and I do it, too. We'll get calls from around the world, sometimes from overseas. And so can I pray on the telephone for them? Yes, sure I can. It's not unusual to pray deliverance over the telephone. And you handle them just like you would if you were in the presence, except instead of talking face to face, You're talking phone line to phone line. And yes, that is very common. I'm sure Irma does far more of that than Earlene and I, because she gets many phone calls. And I know Glenn does some of that too. So yes, that's very effective. If the person calls you, wants help, if they're willing to submit to your authority, if they're willing to follow your instructions, then they can receive deliverance over the telephone. Right. Come on up here, Bill, and say a few things. You're supposed to talk in the microphone. Come on up here and say a few things.
He was talking about authority. If you have the authority standing here today, and you have that power that God has given you to pray for the sick or pray for deliverance, you have the same authority if you were standing in New York or California or over in London or over in Paris, because the same God's working on both ends. If a person wants to be helped, God's already working on that end, and he's going to begin to work in you to do the work that he's called you to do. So there's no distance in God. I don't care whatever the problem may be. The God we serve is alive, and he's willing, and he has a determination to do the work that he's called you to do, regardless of where you're at.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, come on up here, brother. We need to talk in the microphone so we can get this on the record.
I wanted to talk about when you were talking about husband and wife before. I think what a practical thing. And you probably touched on it a little bit, but you know, we come from differing pasts when we get married, and we have differing histories. And to be in communication with one another, you know, to have a prayer time that's a time together, and have a very openness in your communication and in your relationship and an honesty. It doesn't give the devil a place, like the word says, like a topos, a foothold in there to put his foot in, and you can cover one another where you're weak. Or where there's an area where you have had weakness in the past, and kind of be each other's, you know, guard in a way. And guard is that we found that to be helpful. We're young people in God, but we found by talking, it seems to dispel a lot of areas that maybe the devil could get in and try to worm his way in.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Let's address that. When you get in deliverance, you have to walk the Christian walk. I mean, just because you're in deliverance doesn't mean you can't do the other things you should do to be a strong Christian. Now, one of the key things is communications. The lack of communications between husband and wife is a tremendous problem. I know early and I had problems like that. And I think probably every husband and wife have problems. Okay, so what's my advice to you? I'll give you some quick advice. Spend hours with your mate. Spend hours with your mate talking. Take her with you. Ride down the highway and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. This is what it takes. You need to communicate with your wife, with your husband. You need to spend a lot of time doing this. You need to be open about your communications. You need to discuss your problems. You need to let your wife have her say. Let her say. Let her tell you about the things she doesn't like that are bothering her and so forth. Okay, you can't come in and say, hi, wife, and kiss her, and bye, wife, and go sit down at the television set. Or like I did, I'm an engineer. I used to go in my office and get my slide rule out and my engineering books, and I'd study. And you can't do that. You have to spend time with your mate. You have to openly communicate. If you don't, the demonic barriers will build up things. And the women are weaker than the men. Men, your wives are weaker than you are. I'm going to tell you this over and over again. God made them, okay, a real simple example. You men are a dump truck. You're a 5-ton dump truck. And your wife is a half-ton pickup. Okay, the Bible says the husbands do not become bitter against the wives. It's very easy to get bitter against your wife because she's not doing the things that you think she ought to do. Okay, you have to realize she doesn't have the ability you have. God did not make her to carry the load that He made you to carry. You have to support your wife. Okay, now I'm going to spend some time in deliverance here. And I'm asking the Lord what I ought to do. And I think I'm going to start off with diseases. We've really had a lot of deliverance here at the camp so far. And I just praise God for that. And I'm not sure we've hit real hard on diseases. So I'm going to start off in that. And then another list I've got here. Okay, why don't you stand up and take a stretch. Get the kinks out of your muscles. I really appreciate your comments. I wish I had an hour to get some more comments, because there's a lot of wisdom here. There's a lot of experience here that I don't have, but I just don't have the time. I'm going to try to wind this thing up at 5 so you can eat. I encourage all of you to move in deliverance. to move with wisdom and understanding and carefulness. I'm not trying to discourage anyone from moving in deliverance. Every Christian should move in deliverance. But if you do it properly, you will succeed. If you do it improperly, you may become a statistic. You may become another victim of Satan. So there's a lot of danger areas in deliverance, but this doesn't mean that I have discouraged you and you have quit. No, I encourage you. But I encourage you to do it the right way and to learn. Like, come to Lake County Bible Camp and learn how to do these things. And then begin to put them into practice. You put them into practice in your life, in praying for your mate, praying for your children, beginning in your prayer meeting, in your church, before you ever move out into the world. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't think I'm even going to take you through a prayer on this one, so y'all can sit down. There's just so many different areas to cover. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, I do think I'll take you through a short prayer. Okay, repeat after me. Y'all can stand up again if you want to. Everybody starts to stand up. Okay, Lord Jesus Christ,
forgive me
for anything that I may have done.
I forgive my ancestors
for anything that they may have done
that would have brought curses on me
and would have caused me to be open
to physical diseases
or mental infirmities.
I repent in the name of Jesus Christ.
I ask that you wash me in the blood.
And I break all curses
of infirmities.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, you can be seated.
Okay, I remind you, demons, that you're going to be cast in a lake of fire and brimstone, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You're going to be cast in there with your master Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair. You have very little time left. You're going to be tormented with your master Satan. You're going to bow your knee to Jesus Christ, as he's going to bow his knee to Jesus Christ. You're going to have worms on your head and maggots on your feet. You have very little time left here on earth. I command every demon to come out, every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit to come out. I command every demon named and unnamed and every common demon grouping to come out. I command you to come out and line up in rank and file in order and go quickly. Lord Jesus, we just ask now that you send your angels, your warring angels, your ministering angels, the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God, to come down and do a mighty work on earth today. We bind up every force of evil. We loose you and drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against all these, every demon that's named. We command that you leave us and go out and walk around in dry places and not come back again. Lord, we pray that you'd take your sword and cut the demons out, cut their roots out. Light a fire under them 10 times hotter than hell. Shine the light on them. Don't give them any peace, Lord. I pray that you send your angels to rip those demons out, to put a hook in their jaw and pull them out in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we call for no mercy on these demons and all that spiritual warfare to set my Christian brothers and myself free in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we come against spirits and drive these spirits out as your name is called. Come out, every spirit of hate, vengeance, envy, strife, rejection, bitterness, rebellion, selfishness, Ahab, Jezebel, ignorance, false doctrines, seduction, soul ties, alluring, carelessness, pride, immorality, taking God for granted, spiritual weakness, unforgiveness, cursed objects, sexual demons, homosexuality, lesbianism, eroticism, demonic sexual feelings, demonic kissing, sexual pressures, loneliness, divorce, separation, love of money, manly women, ability to give or receive love, token deliverance, immaturity, ego, vanity, overweight, drunkenness, and smoking. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, every addiction to drugs and other things. Spirits of drugs, we call out bondage and slavery, craving for and addiction to cigarettes, craving for and addiction to alcohol. We call out the spirit of nicotine, call out all amphetamines, barbiturates, craving for and addiction to drugs, downers, fantasy, flashback, habit,
methadone, phenobarbital, THC, hashish, pipe smoking, unreality, fears. Come out every spirit of nervousness, confusion, mind control, tension, anxiety, worry. We drive out every spirit of Apollo and Apollyon, Aesculapius, demons behind every god and goddess, the demons behind the Hippocratic Oath. Come out in Jesus' name. Pharmakia, pharmacy, witchcraft, sorcery. Come out, all spirits that come in through painkillers, tranquilizers, antidepressants, sedatives, hypnotics, hallucinogens, narcotics, stimulants, and depressions. Go in Jesus' name. Go all the forms of drunkenness and gluttony. Gluttony, nervousness, compulsive eating, resentment, frustration, idleness, self-pity, self-reward, caffeine, diet pills, indulgence, surfeiting, addiction to food, cravings for particular foods, I like to eat, drunkenness, alcohol, medications for drunkenness, desire, addiction to alcohol, bondage, slavery, fantasy, fears, flashback, habit, unreality, craving for alcohol, addiction to any kind of beverage. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out every spirit of infirmity, weakness, sickness, and disease. Come out in Jesus' name. We call out all princes, kings, and world rulers. Go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of accident, backbreaker, accident prone, traumatic shock, bone breaker. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out every spirit of paralysis, crippling, depression, despair, affliction, deformity, discouragement, suicide, spinal cord, atrophy, hopelessness, death, scar tissue. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go every spirit of roots of infirmity, shame and embarrassment, troubled will and conflict, curse of Jezebel, acupuncture and acupressure, hypnotism and demonism, astrology, rebellion and idolatry, resentment and envy, vanity and pride, witchcraft and occult, Taoism and pantheism, psychic metaphysical healing, grief, disobedience, curse of the law, envy and jealousy, reincarnation, spiritual or Christian science. Go in Jesus' name. Go, we call out all ailments. Come out, spirits of tooth decay, tuberculosis of bone, skin cancer, colitis, bowel upset, kidney stones, kidney panic, scalp ailments, inability to sleep, pestilence, inflammation, hemorrhoids, schizophrenia, Huntington's chorea, scab, measles, smallpox, blasting, brutishness, female cancer, uncontrollable body odor, heart attack, astonishment of heart. Come out every spirit of unteachable ignorance. Come out spirits of venereal disease, inflammation of a fungus, infection in sex organs. Go in Jesus' name. Go every spirit of leukemia, acne, menstrual cramps, cancer of bowels, cancer, kidney failure, heart disturbances, falling hair, aimlessness, consumption, tuberculosis, botch, boils, blindness, La Tourette syndrome, muscular sclerosis, spinal meningitis, cancer of bone, carbuncles, diarrhea, eye trouble, hernia, kidney infection, melancholy, sadness, restlessness, futility, fever, madness, encephalitis, polio, stroke, St. Vitus Dane, scoliosis. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, every disease found in the Bible. Ague, blemish, broken-handed, canker, dwarf, flux, impotent, issue, leprosy, maimed, pestilence, scurvy, withered, blains, blindness, broken-footed, crooked-backed, hemorrhoids, gangrene, infirmity, itch, lunacy, murrain, scab, sores, worms, boils, botch, bruises, dropsy, flat nose, halt, inflammation, lameness, madness, palsy, scald, wind, and wounds. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out all functional diseases of the body. We call you out and drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out every spirit of controller, female allergies. Come out of the mouth and the gums. Come out spirits of gluttony, body illness. Come out spirits of octopus. Go in Jesus' name. Go all gluttony. Come out spirits of fatness, sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, pain of the sternum, infection of colon and colon cancer. Go all colon cancers in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of stomach infection, come out of the pancreas, pancreatitis, stomach nerves, gallbladder. Come out all glandular malfunctions of the body fluids. Come out spirit of swelling. Come out all chest pains, breast cancer. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of the right breast and the left breast. Go in Jesus' name. Go, every demon in the lymph glands of the breast. We call out spirits of mushroom, type, growth type breast cancer. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of the breast. Come out of the women right now. Come out of the breast. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, demons in the bone marrow, spirits in the ear, the spirits of deafness. Come out, all parasites, demonic parasites and demonic organisms in the body. We call out demonic objects in the body. Go in Jesus' name. Go, come out, spirits of broken rhythm into the heart, spirits of blood cancer, convulsions and epilepsy. Come out of the pituitary glands. Come out, all these violent demons in the pituitary glands, pituitary glands. Come out of the pituitary glands in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of heart blockage, foot pain, pain in the right foot, pain in the left foot, pain in the neck. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of ear infections. Go in Jesus' name. I call out the emotional demons and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of vanity, flippancy of emotions, stoicism, lack of feeling, controller demons, accusation, criticism, selfishness, sloth, self-pity, fear of disapproval, disobedience against obedience or against authorities. Come out, spirits of guilt, resentment, sorrow, causing to sleep in a spiritual environment, spirits of rebellion, go in Jesus' name, excessive tiredness, play acting, choreography in the church. Come out, spirits of game playing and taunting, over-concern of what others think, demons in the blood pressure, spirits of rapid heartbeat, heart blockage, cancer cells in the human anatomy. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all emotional demons. We bind your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of body pain. We call out the controller prince of body pain. Come out, spirits of pain and imps of pain in Jesus' name. Come out, shaking of the body, where these demons shake the body. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of the bone in the marrow, out of the back, pain in the back, in the spine. I call out the serpent. I call out serpent, serpentine spirits that wrap around the spine. Go in Jesus' name. Come out of our knees. Problems with our knees, our sternum, and problems with our body and so forth. Come out. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of pain, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Every spirit of radiational force and the copy demons and so forth. Come out of the neck. Come out of demons that block the human will. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, demons that would block our human will. Come out, ruler of spiritual blockage. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, the spirits of Antichrist. Go in Jesus' name. Go, demons that block the reading of the word, that block all knowledge and false doctrine. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power and we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You will go in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Be gone. Loose us and set us free in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. I call out spirits of charismatic witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Spirits of rejection by Christian brothers, sisters, and pastors. Rejection of deliverance and Lake Hamlin Bible Camp. Rejection by husband, wife, mother, father, and children. Rejection between deliverance workers and pastors. Rejection in the womb of self and of others. Hurts and deep hurts, come out in Jesus' name. Touch me not. Inability to give and receive love. Conception and lust, go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of false doctrine, heresy, false preachers, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles, false tongues, prophecy, interpretation, demonic gifts, false religions, religious cults, Eastern religions, false love, sweetness, sentimentality, false prosperity, love of money, think and grow rich, money by faith, false positive thinking, metaphysical faith, soulish faith, false charismatic movement, false partial gospel, false shaking, quaking, crying, putting on a show, false cooperating and discipleship, go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of charismatic witchcraft, witches and warlocks, domination, control, manipulation, dictatorial, mind control, blanking, blocking, binding, confusion, witchcraft, occult, antichrist, familiar spirits, divination, Jezebel, Ahab, passivity, destruction of family priesthood, lukewarmness. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all commanding angels for riches, imaging, and visualization. Come out, spirits of greed, covetous, and mammon. Come out, spirits of financial poverty of workers, pastors, churches, and camps. Come out, a different gospel, another Jesus, apostate religion, almost fooling the very elect, spirit of error, spirit of the world, aborted spirit. Go in Jesus' name. Go, ruler demons over workers, pastors, families, churches, and camps. Come out, all soul ties and curses from control. Go, every spirit of despondency, despair, defeat, hopelessness, morbidity, strife, contention, bickering, quarreling among brethren, inability to work with other Christians, denominational spirit, separation, infighting, spiritual pride, ego, vanity, preeminence, haughtiness, self-idolatry, we are gods, worship of man, fear of man. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnessism, bloodless religions, Catholicism, occult, masonry, religious demons, evil eye, third eye, Masonic eye, all-seeing eye. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of Christian fantasy, falseness, false love, play acting, theatrics, affectation, pretension, hypocrisy, lying, deceit, deception, delusion, and compromise. Come out in Jesus' name. Go. Go right now. Come out of my brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. I bind every power that you have. I loose ourselves from you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to keep on going. Even after I stop talking, I command you to keep on coming out of the people in Jesus' name. Now come out of them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of every system in her body, out of every gland in her body, every spirit of infirmity, weakness, sickness, and disease. We call you out of us in Jesus' name. Now be gone. Infirmity, weakness, sickness, and disease. Every disease called out in the Bible. Every disease listed in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, every disease that's not listed in the Bible, I call you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Every spirit that we've taken away your legal right, we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to come out of us and loose us and set us free and let us be the way that God wants us to be. Now be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You will come out of us in Jesus' name. By the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, by the word of God in the name of Jesus, you will loose us and set us free in Jesus' name. Praise God. Brother Glenn.
Father, we thank you for the teaching and the understanding that we're coming into so that we can be free and that we can be available to help set others free. We thank you for it, Father. Help us, Lord, to be learners and desire to learn. And then to study your word, to hide it in our hearts so that we can say, it is written. And we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for the food. Bless it to our bodies. Make it health to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the image of our Father, if we walk in the footprints of His Son, if we speak in the power of His Spirit, hallelujah, then His work here on earth shall be. One more time, let's sing it. If we stay in the image of our Father, if we walk in the footprint of His Son, if we speak in the power of His Spirit, then His work here on earth shall be done.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.